Among my people, we carry many such words as this from many lands, many worlds. Many are equally good and are as well respected. But wherever we have gone, no words have said this thing of importance in quite this way.
This is Jeff Bell.
This is Jake Weiniger.
This is Forrest Shaw.
This is J.C. Carter.
I am Eric Effington.
And this is The Left Show. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Jeff Bell. Welcome to The Left Show. What you're about to listen to is a labor of love I've developed over the last year. And I've had some good ideas and some bad ones. I've had a few goals. And we've had some problems, including several massive roadblocks and a change of co-hosting. But finally, here it is, The Left Show. We're launching this show as an alternative to other political shows and podcasts in that we're doing our best to keep the content free-flowing. No set time limits or rules, except that we're trying not to swear as much. No sponsor censorship, just a free trade area for ideas and opinions. To celebrate our first episode, I wanted you to hear every voice currently billed, so we've broken it up into 2 hours. Jake Weiniger, Forrest Shaw, Eric Effington, and J.C. Carter, they're all good friends, and some of the smartest people I know.
Look at these 3 words written larger than the rest, with a special pride never written before or since. Tall words proudly saying, "We the people."
And now, let us rejoin our intrepid heroes as they once again do battle with the forces of asshattery, ignorance, and vile douchebaggery. May I present The Left Show.
And for yet another week in a row, you're talking without talking into your microphone.
I didn't know you were recording yet.
You should know. It's red.
Hi.
Oh, is that what the red means?
I can't see the red myself, so.
I avoid my gaze from your monitors at all times because of what's usually on there.
You see, Jeff, what I'm looking for is the old on-air sign coming on, you know.
You know, I need one of those.
Yeah.
That would be...
My excuse.
That would be a totally unneeded expense at this point, just for some shit that would be... That you're actually supposed to have outside the studio so that people shut up when they come in.
I was going to say,
I could take my shirt off and
need
that
to.
Would...
Shut
that
everybody
would work.
Up. For sure.
I don't think you'd make it out alive.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Left Show. My name's Jeff Bell. Joining me this hour, this first hour of a special 2 hour. What? Such a dick. What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Joining me in studio for this first of a special 2 hour episode of The Left Show. Our first real, honest-to-goodness, happy, almost-no-swearing episode. Joining me in from far left to far right, starting with Mr. Forrest Shaw.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm glad you're listening. And are we really doing the no-swearing thing?
We're going to try. We tried last week. It didn't really work. We'll get into that in just a minute. Right in the middle, where the government trained him to be, Jake Weiniger.
Hi, everybody. I'm totally not going to make the no swearing rule, but I'll do my best.
Do your best. Joining me on my far right for at least a few minutes, J.C. Carter.
That's right. Hello, folks.
John is with all of my friends that do this show with me. You, and I don't mean this the way it sounds, are the oldest.
I am.
Because you and I... let's go through that real quick. John and I have known each other since the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Since I was a sophomore, at any rate.
At least 87, 88 mm-hmm. was when we met. Yeah. So I guess that's not the mid-80s, more of the end of the 80s.
Still.
Yeah.
Still had bugle boys and didn't put my suspenders around my shoulders at that point. And then years later, 6 or so, I met Forrest and Jake when we worked together at the same bar downtown Salt Lake City, Anchors Away.
Fun times.
That was a great times. Are you kidding? I want that back.
We could have great a whole times. Show.
Well, you can't have any of that back now.
Or the
greatest. That building's been razed.
Yeah, it's a hole. That doesn't mean we can't have drinks there.
Oh, of course. I agree. I filmed one of my movies there.
You
did?
Yeah,
you did. Yeah. You did. That was your first...
that was my 16mm film, yeah.
When you were at the University of Utah Film School.
That's right.
Well, I want to see it.
Who was your handsome hero in that film?
My handsome hero was our intrepid host, Mr. Jeff Bell.
That was 60 pounds ago. Easy.
No wonder I haven't seen it.
You know what? If it's up here on my shelf. If I had a VCR, I'd throw it in for you guys. I don't happen to have a VCR.
So it'll be on the
right
left
now.
Show this week.
I honestly don't have a VCR. There's not a working VCR in the house.
I have a VCR.
Okay.
If
you can digitize that for me, we'll go ahead and have a world premiere of John's first short film.
Yeah, I'd love to get that digitized, actually.
Put it on YouTube, the things we could do to it.
Oh, yeah.
It is. I mean, it's... Now, I was great.
We could use Photoshop to...
Jeff was incredible, and he wrote all the music for it, too.
Well, no, that was... Now, here's something that'll happen a little later, and I hope he's listening right now. Another friend of ours from the exact same bar that I knew you guys at, which is funny, when I started working at that bar, I was sleeping on John's floor in his one-room apartment in downtown Salt Lake City, too. So it's all synergy, except for Eric, whom I met about a year or so ago, and he seems pretty good with a microphone. You're all bastards.
Oh, my God.
Hey, that's what he gets for... I just feel bad now. That's pretty funny.
You should feel terrible.
All right, now it's getting awkward. Let's
yeah. All right, now this weekend, and we whined a little bit about this last week, but this weekend is Comic-Con down in San Diego. Yay. Now, a very old friend of mine named Everett Downing is, and I'll post a link to his website right below where you'll be listening to this. Because it's Monday, see? I'll post that. He's at what they call Trickster, selling. That's where it's more of the actual comic book buying and seeing experience. It's kind of right there off to the side, I think across the street from the hotel. And he's got his first collection, Mojo is the name. And then his second collection is a comparison sketchbook. I think Mr. Sketchy Sketchbook, again, I'll have the link up, where he takes art that he's done on his iPad and art that he's done in his sketchpad and then does a straight comparison to them from one to the other. It's really, really quite neat. And apparently, could you hear that? Yeah?
Yeah, okay. I heard that one.
Yeah, and so apparently getting into Trickster, not so easy. I'm very proud about him. He's there. Mm-hmm. Our friend we talked about last week, Megan Risbon, is there. She decided to not try and sit a couple of panels so that she could try and get into Shatner's Captain's panel. I want into that so bad. They did a... Speaking of hating Comcast, by the way, I say pointing because that works so well on audio.
Yes.
That was me, Comcast.
Yeah, Epics. The movie studios put together their own HD movie cable package called Epics, E-P-I-X. And they do a lot of really cool stuff. They do some live chats on Ustream, and they're the ones that put up the money to buy the Captain's documentary from Shatner. However, they made a deal with Netflix that 90 days after their movies, the partner companies, after their movies released, they'd go straight to Netflix. And the cable station basically took a giant dump on them. And that's why you can't get this channel except for on, like, Verizon, Cox, and DirecTV. That's the only place you can get this channel. Because they're the only ones that didn't get their feelings hurt on the Netflix deal. What a bunch of whiners.
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, if there is anything in the world that is stunting innovation, it's these dinosaurs in the entertainment industry. Whereas porn innovates, and whether you like porn or not, half of your new technology is because porn needs it, it seems like. You know, and then you've got guys making movies and music and television shows that just seem to be allergic to delivering product and advertising to us the way we want it. You know, I just gave my kids my DVR. I took it upstairs and hooked it to the phone. Okay, I had my son take it upstairs and hook it to the television that I use maybe once a month. Because I'm not watching my DVR anymore. It's that archaic and antique to me. I kind of just, I'm like, oh, this sucks. I'll just find it online. And if I can't find it online, I'm not going to watch it. And I was told a couple of nights ago that maybe I'm a little odd or unique in that, but I don't think I am anymore. And I think that more people are going to be doing it the way I'm doing it. And then you guys talk.
I find everything...
Jeez. Amen, brother. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah.
The evangelical Jeff. All right.
No, if I know something's going to be coming on cable, then I'll set my DVR for it, skip the commercials, and leave it at that. Other than that, it's online.
I was using my DVR as a reminder of what I should be watching on the computer. And so I'd flip on. I'm like, what did I miss? The only thing was the Craig Ferguson. The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson doesn't air whole episodes very well. And so yeah. I was watching that on the DVR. That's about it.
And it's nice to skip the commercials, right?
No. Well, actually, no, I don't
no,
skip
I
commercials.
Had, I had a Series 1 TiVo, and I was in love with that thing, but it would phone home like every 9 months. And this was, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, whenever it first came out. And I canceled my home phone line because I had a cell phone. I haven't had a home phone line in, I think, 10 years now. And TiVo, at the time, required that it dialed in through a modem. And I'm like, a modem? Oh, my God, that's so 1999!
And 56K.
So, yeah, I would have to take my TiVo to my neighbor's house and plug it into his phone jack outside so he wouldn't know that I was doing it, and dial home so that it would work for another 9 months. And I just got sick of doing that. And for the last, I don't know, 3 years, we have basic cable because it's like $5 because I have Comcast cable. Their internet rocks. Everything else about them sucks.
Well, I don't think you use Comcast internet the way I do. Because I've been with Comcast since.
Is that what you're supposed to use it for?
That's what you're supposed to use it for. I got to get around to learning what the internet's for. But
the internet's for poor. Great video. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's a funny video about what the internet's for.
I'm taking
notes. They took porn off the internet, there'd be one page left, and it would be a petition to bring back the porn.
Anyway, I push a lot of heavy density files. I push a lot of video. I push a lot of audio. And so way back in the day when AT&T was the broadband folks, before Comcast bought out that service from them.
Yeah, I had the DSL.
That's how – no, this was – I had the Motorola surfboard modem is what I used. And loved it. I mean, just loved it. And then Comcast bought it, and I loved it. But as time's gone on and my business has expanded and I do more and more video and I'm pushing it back and forth, they started capping. They started throttling down. And then they told me that I'd gone over my bandwidth limit, at which point I, in an exchange with the lady on the phone, asked her to tell me which dictionary she got her definition of unlimited, because that's what I have. I pay a bloody fortune a month for really good download speeds and really good upload speeds. Otherwise, my computer just sits there dead after a while when most of my bandwidth gets sucked up that way. So We had that fight, and I have to call them about once every 6 weeks and go, stop it. Knock it off. Bad, bad cable provider. And then they go ahead, and suddenly my speeds come back, but they're not throttling them at all.
speeds.
I just
shows,
did a
whatever.
Quick
Comcast.
Google search on what the internet is for.
Yeah.
The top hit, Comcast. Xfinity Internet.
Comcast will never get another dime of my money. Not one more dime from
me. What did
me.
They do to you?
Well, we're not supposed to swear, so they really, yeah.
If it was those letters about not downloading content, just ignore those.
No. And it just crappy service. And then they claimed I had not returned one of the boxes, and I had returned the box, and it showed up on my credit report.
They wouldn't
remove it.
Yeah,
I mean it was all kinds of crap, and I was just.
I'm done.
I will never, ever have Comcast again.
I'm that way about Blockbuster.
Yeah.
They screwed me 20 years ago. I've never been back.
Nope.
Wait, what's Blockbuster?
They used to have video stores and stuff.
It's what Netflix
it was
used
me
to be.
Boycotting them that took them down.
I believe that.
Yeah. The little things in life. Got to hang on to them.
And being a bit of an entertainment center Luddite that I am, when you guys are talking about TiVo and DVRs, I just sit in awe.
You're still using the tape, aren't you?
Yeah.
Reel to reel.
Reel to reel. Yeah, basically, if I'm not able to pull it down off the internet, it's not worth watching anymore.
That's, I think, the point, really, is and that that's where everything is going, right?
It's where it needs
online,
to be.
And it's the future. Really, wake up.
Well, it is the future, but you're going to want... Okay, look at a model like, iTunes. As much as I hate Mac, iTunes is a fantastic model. Amazon's coming up. They're doing a really good job selling music as well.
Not as good as BitTorrent. My name is Bob Smith, if anyone from Comcast is listening. Bob Smith.
So, good Lord. No one in this room, apparently, I haven't done it in 10 years, so I'm not even worried anymore. Except for you, steals from the internet. Would you pirate
it's
a
not
ham
stealing,
sandwich?
It's copyright infringement. You can accuse me of a crime, be accurate.
Would you pirate toast?
Would I pirate a car? You're damn straight I would.
Maserati.
Oh, yeah. The Bugatti. It's mine.
So we've got all over the United States due to dereg through the 90s. If this isn't the smoothest transition ever. We are seeing these mega corps, these mega media corps, where one company owns just a veritable... Well, I can't say shit ton because we're trying not to swear this week.
Too late.
So
don't say shit ton. Don't say shit ton.
Trying not to swear is hard. So you have a veritable shit ton of these companies that own all of these local affiliates, and they own multiple networks. They've basically managed to take the word monopoly and split it into giant chunks for one another. And when you do that, you start hearing similarity in messaging, especially from, let's jump on the left wing bandwagon and call it, big news.
Big news.
Like big oil, like big coal, like big tobacco.
I'm all about calling it big news.
Sure. And big news.
It is big news because, you've got the Fox News on the right. You've got the MSNBC on the left. And you've got But then you've got the CNN that's kind of in the middle, but mostly full of fluff. But it's all corporate-owned and controlled.
CNN is trying to recreate the Fox model, and you can't hire a dickhead. Is dickhead swearing? You can't hire a dickhead like Erickson without embracing that terrible, terrible propaganda model.
The problem CNN has, and they've always had this, is they're a 24-hour news station when news really isn't a 24-hour resource for you. I mean, things happen 24 hours a day, sure, but you're winding up reporting on Man Bike's dog, you know, most of the time. So they
and
have to milk these stories. Yeah, you have to milk these stories over and over and over again.
It's
just
funny
so you have something
when
to put on the
guy
air.
Bites a dog. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Not
funny.
For the dog.
The news of the odd section.
But they went
no,
from.
You never get a follow up. They never do in depth reporting anymore.
No.
You have to watch like 60 Minutes, which is still decent, mm-hmm. even though they've crapped out a little bit too. Or, you know, like Dateline, which gives me nightmares.
CNN has CNN Presents.
It's a variety
it's,
show?
It's
I,
one
I
show.
I read news online. I read
That's
the Washington
Wolf
Post,
Blitzer
New York
tap
Times.
Dances.
That'd be That's awesome.
CNN's got talent.
Zero reporters compete for anchor.
Ooh, like American Gladiator.
Oh, that'd rock.
Yeah. They could have them do like news stories while they're throwing stuff at them. Like
yeah, you
got to
run a gauntlet while you're telling me about the heat wave wiping across the United States right now. You know, what was the guy's name? Nitro. Nitro wants to hear the weather in Minnesota, but all he's got is Florida. Watch him take it out on our weather guy, Bob.
This, by the way, is copyright. This, by the way, is copyright The Left Show. Nobody can steal this or we'll sue you.
MXXILILMM. What comes after? It's the Roman.
It doesn't matter. It's copyrighted.
Yeah.
Said so.
We're done.
Bitches. Yeah. So we're coming up. We're going to take our first break here in just a minute. And we're going to roll to a couple of live feed commercials so that John can get out of here. John, what I'm building to is what happened in Norway, kind of, and how American media basically lost its collective mind for a couple of hours and then had to reverse course on their sad, pathetic, whiny, judgmental, snap judgment, knee-jerk, dumbass.
I think they should have run with it.
That the guy was an Islamic terrorist?
No, they should have kept that level of outrage and, oh my God, this is so horrible that Muslims have... Wait, it wasn't a Muslim, it was a Christian fundamentalist!
Who
he attacked, killed 90 people! Ah! They could have kept it up, but no, they're like, oh, this is probably going to hurt some people's feelings, so even though people are dead, we're going to back off.
Okay, so now we got nothing to talk about for the next
Click
30 minutes.
Break,
and popped off.
He took it all.
But yeah, it's when you're looking at the fact that when it's a non-white, non-Christian, multiple bombing, gunning down of children at a camp sponsored by a local union, everybody collectively has their head explode. It's Armageddon. It's, oh, we shouldn't have gotten rid of Bush's color code terror system warning that stopped being used after the 2004 election. What are we going to do? Yeah, the national mood ring.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they find out that this guy is an anti-Islamic white Christian fundamentalist from there and that he killed 90 people with two bombs, including a bunch of kids, at a camp sponsored by a local union. And suddenly it goes from terrorism in Oslo to, hey, maybe we shouldn't rush to judgment. Maybe we should just slow down, figure out what his white Christian problem was so that we don't have to worry. Because if there is one blind spot in American national security right now, it's homegrown militia terrorism. It's a huge issue. How many different, and when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how many different terrorist attacks we've seen in America from our own white Christian wackadoos who vote Republican, whether you want to believe it or not. Republican. You heard me. Did you hear me? I was whispering. I just want to make sure.
You know that.
So all Republicans are terrorists? Is that what you're saying?
No, you just said that, and I agree. Good point, Jake Weiniger, who lives at...
Well played, sir. Well played. I did not say that.
Well, you know, let's just go back in time, maybe, what, 10 years or 20 years. Branch Davidians.
Oh my God, they're Branch Davidians here back in time.
Christian group.
They were extremists. Extremists, they were not terrorists.
Hang on, I'm going to jump in from it. You know what I did? I bought the bit. These two jackasses over here sit there looking at me like crazy. I'm back in time hanging out with the Branch Davidians. For you, John. For you.
You are the man.
One terrorist fist bump.
No, so you got the Branch Davidians, and they're bitching about Janet Reno. She was the secretary of...
She's not hot enough to be in charge of our justice system.
Yeah, Justice Department, head of the Justice Department. She was running the FBI assault on that. And compare that now to invasion of Afghanistan or something like that to go get Osama bin Laden. And everybody's, you know, cheering, yeah, we killed him, we got him. And when it was the Branch Davidians, they were like, you know, maybe we should think about this. Maybe we did something wrong.
That would be the difference between a terrorist and an extremist.
Because in
this
case...
Which is what we're going to talk about when we come
back
from the
break. We're going to go to break in just a couple more minutes. But I'm just warning you because we've never had one before. So
here it goes.
It's out there. Because you got to leave.
Yeah, I got to go.
At the top of the hour.
Yes.
So, okay. So, Branch Davidians, you got Timothy McVeigh, who is some militia nutbag, no matter what the John Birch Society tries to claim that he wasn't, because he was. And you can, okay.
Unabomber. He was more of an anarchist, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was anti-technology anarchist.
McVeigh, though, I mean, really, he's the reason why we don't have any churches anywhere near any federal building in the whole country, right?
I have no idea.
What the hell?
What the hell?
You honestly lost me.
You missed the connection?
Have we moved churches in the last few years? I don't...
We can't have a mosque anywhere near a federal building.
Oh, a mosque.
Oh, a mosque.
See what
so
I did
he's
there?
He's the reason that we can't have any churches anywhere near a federal building in this country,
right? Can I just point
something
out real quick? Osama bin Laden, dead.
Yeah, good thing.
President of Iraq, what was his name?
Saddam Hussein.
Dead. Timothy McVeigh. We're good at one thing.
Hey, you know what? That, to me, is the best time to break this show in half. Hey, thanks for listening to The Left Show. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. And now these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, friends. Jeff Bell here for Perfectly Priced Printing and Design. Perfectly Priced Printing and Design is your one stop for every printing, scanning, and design project you have. Let's start with picture scanning. How many pictures do you have in envelopes or drawers and boxes, all of those irreplaceable memories sitting vulnerable to the elements or disaster? Perfectly Priced Printing and Design can affordably scan those old photos, giving you both peace of mind and the ability to more easily share your precious memories with those you love. Perfectly Priced Printing also has nearly impossible to beat prices for almost any print job. This month's special is a 35% off postcard printing. 5,000 full-color, both-side postcards, normally almost $300, are now only $165. Do you need a design for that print job? A logo? A website? Any kind of corporate branding? Perfectly Priced Printing has got your back. Their design services are bold, professional, and best of all, affordable. Visit PerfectPriceprinting.com or call them today at 801-425-9917 for more information. That info again for this special podcast offer. PerfectPriceprinting.com or call them at 801-425-9917. Perfectly Priced Printing is the printer you've been looking for because they're big enough to do the job, but they're small enough to remember your name.
We should not bomb them.
I'm sure we'll find a reason why we need to.
Hey, we just got to take...
Is there oil there?
No, they have volcanoes, so geothermal.
Geothermal.
She's still right, and you're still wrong.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to The Left Show. John, JC had to leave. He's got his play tonight. For those of you that are listening in the northern Utah area, the northern Utah area. What happened? I had like a half a can of Mountain Dew, and now I'm all tongue-tied.
Well, I think you just you said that because Ariel is the code word for discount tickets for the play.
Yes. Now, it plays Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at the Midvale Main Street Theater. On Thursday nights, they have a special 2-for-1 offer on tickets, which I believe, if I remember this right, that means two people get in for $15. You're going to see The Tempest on its 400th birthday as a play. And yes, what you want to do is walk up to the box office and loudly proclaim
Ariel,
because that'll get you the discount. They'll know exactly what you're talking about. So before we went into the break, that's going to be so much fun. Just yell it. Just yell
Ariel!
It. Like that. Just like that.
Ariel!
Or like Rocky.
Or like that.
Like Ariel!
Grandpa Simpson and Rocky Balboa all mixed together. All right, so before we went on break, we were talking about the United States media's response to this bombing / shooting in Norway. Let me read a little bit to you. Right before midnight on Friday, police arrested a 32-year-old Norwegian man who allegedly went on a murderous shooting spree at a Labour Party youth camp, unions, on the island of Utøya, and may also be responsible for the horrific bombing in Oslo earlier in the day. The man arrested for the attack has been identified as Anders Behring Breivik. It's, you know what, it's Oslo. Nobody's going to sue me. Norwegian TV2 reports that Breivik belongs to right-wing circles in Oslo, and sources tell Norway, in Norway, say that Breivik has been known to write posts in right-wing internet forums in Norway where he has described himself as a nationalist and has also written numerous screeds critical of Muslims. The Associated Press reports that Breivik had a Glock pistol, a rifle, and a shotgun registered in the Norwegian gun registry. And according to his Facebook page, which has now come down, Breivik established a business called Geofarm, which he claimed to be engaged in the cultivation of vegetables. The guy's all over the place. I mean, he's all over the place. But such a business would give him access to large amounts of fertilizer, which some people speculate could be used. Well, we know it can be used, but were used in the makings of the two bombs earlier in Oslo.
How do we know that?
They don't. Nobody knows anything. That's kind of what we're talking about, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, fact checker.
Right. Fact asker is more like
Jesus
it.
Jesus power.
So what that tells me.
What we saw on the news the last two mornings, because I want to make sure we frame this right before we start to run amok. We're allowed to run amok because we're just a bunch of fat white guys in a basement, you know,
remember
talking about
what the internet
news.
Is for.
I'm not fat.
That's true. So starting with Fox News, and you can track this on their website if they haven't removed the articles already, we saw a lot of noise that it was another Muslim-based terrorist, Islamic terrorist, brown-skinned, non-Christian terrorist attack. Holy hell, what happened? To borrow Jake's phrase, we need our national mood ring back. It's time. Oh, my God. It's the Islamics again. Oh, those Kenyans. And then it turns out it's a white neo-Christian, you know, nationalist. I'm going to go, if he lived here, he'd be a skinhead more than likely. A skinhead, apparently, with his own community victory garden. And so he's gone from, holy crap, it's terrorism, to Christian extremists. Maybe we should take a look at what set him off. Because the American media, is a bunch of reactionary, knee-jerk, lazy-assed pains in the neck that, honestly, if they can't find a hook somebody's already used before to get you to pay attention to news, would sooner not write it unless there is a teabagger standing on the other side with a misspelt sign full of grammatical errors calling the president a Nazi from Kenya. That's what the news in America pays attention to. They don't wait for facts anymore in a 24-hour news cycle. They jump to conclusions, and then they quietly and subtly blame one another for the first person, probably Juan Williams, because we know how nervous he gets thinking about Muslim people. They point, the reporter said that it was terrorism. Here's my point. You blow up a building, and you shoot a bunch of kids, you're a terrorist.
Absolutely. I mean, the description you wrote about that guy, he was obviously an extremist. And we have lots of extremists in this world. But as soon as you cross that line, you're a terrorist. It doesn't matter what color your skin is or what God you pray to or who you are. As soon as you cross that line, you've gone from being an extremist to a terrorist.
I think you guys are missing the thing that everybody in America knows. Christians don't hate freedom. That's why we have to back off that guy. He can't be a terrorist if he's Christian because he doesn't hate freedom. No, I mean, that's it. The media is reacting this way because if you paint a Christian extremist as a terrorist, that's like 30% of the U.S. can identify with that.
Well,
and they're afraid of that.
Even now, you can find people that will get pissed off at you if you call Timothy McVeigh a terrorist. Even if you append it with...
I would disagree with that.
That he's a terrorist?
Oh, there are plenty. There are
plenty. I tell
plenty.
You what,
he was
you
an
go
extremist.
Home tonight.
Really?
You
yep,
write on your Facebook page.
Even the people who think that he was not a Christian... Even those people that think that Timothy McVeigh was not a Christian will tell you he's an extremist, not a terrorist.
Go home onto your Facebook page and write, Timothy McVeigh was a terrorist, and I guarantee... Well, you don't have very many Facebook friends,
Jake.
I have
like 20.
Yeah,
so,
but you write that...
But my mom, I'm sure, is on my side.
I wouldn't be too sure. I'm fighting it. It's a great place for a yo mama joke right here.
Carry on. Go, just go.
Would you remind your mother, just tell her hello and that I left my shoes under her bed?
Wow. Wow, talk about terrorism.
I'm extreme.
No, I that drink... was terrorism. You obviously acted on that.
I was going to go off on a Mountain Dew joke because that's what I'm drinking right now.
Angry heterosexual Jeff Bell. No, I haven't watched the news on this yet.
Well, now all you're going to hear is Christian extremists blew
right.
up a thingy and did a little damage, as
right.
opposed to the hair on fire running around in circle, Fox and Friends cluster. I need a replacement word here. That was on TV Friday into this morning.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was nutty what it was. And now that he's just a crazy white guy who goes to church.
It's toned down.
Oh, way toned down. You know, CNN toned down, even MSNBC toned down. Fox, it's part of their world in a minute BS right now. You know, it's been tucked in. Now, granted, we turned the TV off about half an hour ago, so who knows? They could have their hair on fire again. But as of 20 minutes of this recording ago...
Secret Muslim.
Oh. That's probably. We'll turn the TV on. We'll know for hour two that you won't be here for, because you're going to be where? You're going to the Steve Miller
band. Oh, yeah,
concert.
I'm going to Steve Miller, baby. I'm dressing as a space cowboy.
Some are you going to wear those shorts?
I can start singing it. I can sing the whole song right now if you
I'll
want.
I'll kill you.
No, I can't.
I'll kill
can
you
it.
In your face. That's what I'll do.
I can sing like half their songs from memory.
So aluminum chaps?
No, man, Firefly. I'm always Captain Now, Space Cowboy.
Oh, God.
I know. Argue with that. Let's see you try.
You just took the...
Hey, look, it's cosplay. You took, this ties oh, right God. On
You
back
just took the
to
shiny
Comic-Con.
Off of Firefly for you.
Captain Mal could get fat. You don't know.
It was my fault. There's no aluminum chaps in being a space cowboy.
Apparently not.
No.
No. Wee- but it, Buckaroo wee- Banzai.
Aw, shit. Maybe there is.
Potty mouth. There's a lot of head shaking going on in the room right now. So John will not be joining us for hour two because he's celebrating the 12-month or the 12-year, 9-month anniversary of the last time he and his wife had a conjugal visit. his very, very good-looking, very smart son, Angus, is having his 12th birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday, Angus.
And so he won't be able to make it to the second hour recording. So that's the two of you. That's the two
I'm
of you.
I'm sorry, man.
Steve Miller.
Steve Miller. I'll buy you a crate of papayas.
But on the lighter side, Eric will be here tomorrow.
Yeah, nice. We'll have Eric here in the next hour. I don't know why I'm trying tomorrow. To pretend it's not happening today. But yeah, we'll have Eric Edlington and Forrest Shaw joining me in studio for the second hour tomorrow. So, aside, I guess, from the fact, because I don't have a fix for it, I can't tell you how to change the fact that our constitutionally protected Fourth Estate has its thumb up its ass.
It has for 20 years now.
Well, yeah, and it gets worse and worse the longer and longer. One, that we move away from newspapers being owned by single owners as opposed to conglomerates that also own, you know, tobacco farms and Nabisco. And, you know, it's how do you buy news when the people buying your advertising are also the ones that are signing your paycheck? Doesn't work. The most disgusting example I saw of ownership butting in was the 2004 endorsement sheet for the editorial board of the Salt Lake Tribune. I know those guys. I know who they talk to, and I know that board. And instead, what we got was a straight-down ticket, this Republican, this Republican, this Republican, and the argument that Dean, the guy who owns the paper,
Tribune.
And several other, the Tribune,
Salt
came
Lake
up
Tribune?
With. Yeah. Straight endorsements. Bush, Cannon, Hatch, the whole... Or not Hatch, Bennett. His whole point was basically, you know what? All their stuff's already in the offices back east, and nobody likes to move. That was about what he had. George Bush, hey, you know, his sheets are there. His pillows are already there, you know? And his kids know where to visit him when he's at 1600 Pennsylvania. You don't want to move a guy out so his kids can't find him. That was about the tone of it. That was a hard right ownership of multiple papers button in and overriding its editorial board, and it happens over and over. But that was so egregious, and Utah is the land of egregious right-wing horseshit. You know, when you look at our redistricting 10 years ago and the fact that Republicans in other states were not going to go to gerrymandering, hold your water, Mr. Weininger.
I'm trying
but
to.
But that even the New York Times, which usually loves anything Texas Republicans come up with, including the Jesus rode to Bethlehem on a velociraptor, I'm paraphrasing, they looked at Utah and went, holy crap, you can't do that. That is an abomination of the American voting system. That is nothing more than the prison date of the way our system is supposed to be set up. Republicans all over, except for Texas, we're all, holy shit, Utah, what are you, stop that, naughty, bad dog. And we're about to see that again.
And what did we say? In accordance with the prophecy.
Oh, shit. So we are looking, as of this recording on Saturday afternoon, John Oompa Loompa Boehner has huffily and diva-like stormed out of the office of the president and said, "You guys just aren't serious enough about, well, screwing poor people for us to pass a debt ceiling increase." And this is not a new issue. This is not the first time we've increased America's debt ceiling. Am I happy we're in debt? No. But once upon a time, we're going to follow this through for the last, let's say, 12 or so years. Not that I have a left-wing liberal agenda here. Once upon a time,
I'm choking on it.
19 terrorists, most of which are from Saudi Arabia, okay, flew a couple of
allies, Saudi Arabia, allies.
They let us build a base there, but wouldn't let us drive outside the gate.
Right. So basically killed 3,000 plus Americans and other nationalities working in the World Trade Center.
They were extremists.
So mostly, yeah. It's, no. They weren't white and they weren't Christian. So they're terrorists.
In Saudi Arabia, they were extremists.
Oh, sure. There you go. Anyway, they killed 3,000 people in the attacks on 9/11. So we, in retaliation against these mostly Saudi Arabian terrorists, we invaded Afghanistan because that's where they were trained. Okay. I could see that. I'm right there. I understand. We got attacked. We fight back. That's what we do. You hit us, we hit you back harder. We're the United States of America. This is how we bar fight. So, it's, you know, go ahead, but you're going to have to swing first. And they did. So we swung back. We pretty much pacify most of Afghanistan. And then...
No, the last year in Afghanistan has been really good. But carry on.
Back in 2002, they were still clapping when we came around, drove our Amtraks around and all that. Not in some areas.
Because we have like 50 people there. No, I mean, there was like 20,000, but they were in, you know,
there,
embassies
no,
in
no.
major cities.
There were
a couple of
there was more than 20,000 that went into Afghanistan that first year. There was a lot more than 20,000.
And it was the Korean War of the Bush Wars.
Sure. So then we go. Ignored. Sure. So then we invade Iraq, who had nothing to do with the attacks of 9/11, based on what we were told that they did have something to do with the attacks on 9/11. Oh, and they've got,
we were lied to. We all know.
Yeah,
carry
and
on.
They got nukes, and they got bug bombs. You know, and they
Can
hate
I bring
America.
Up a 10-year-old gripe against Congress at that time
that they were all a bunch of spineless candy asses.
Way worse than that.
Okay,
the 9/11 report that came out that justified the war. Right, was in the basement of the house, and you had to sign in to see it.
Yeah.
And that's what you were supposed to read before you made a vote on whether or not Americans were sent to war.
Congress doesn't read before it
Six
votes.
Fucking people signed it.
Potty mouth.
Out of the 700 that should have, six.
700?
And then, well, you have the House and the Senate.
That's 535.
Plus the 50 from the Senate, and then probably the aides.
There's 435 in the House. There's 100 in the Senate. Two per state.
Right.
50 states.
Check my math when I'm on a roll. I'm going here. I'm angry. That was rude.
Staffers.
Anyway,
that's true.
Anyway,
it was rude, but we can officially drop the non-swearing ball now, right?
Right.
Totally. No.
I'm dropping it for this. Six people signed it. Yep. And then they voted to send Americans to war, and then they got their panties in a bunch when we call them liars. And that still to this day pisses me off.
Well, that's un-American.
Anybody who was in that Congress should have been fired. They should have been tried for treason for risking American lives without checking their facts.
Except for the six.
Except for the six. Right. Thank you.
Of 535.
Right.
Okay.
And where are we going with this?
Jake has a gripe.
I just had a gripe that I wanted to re-air.
So here we
years.
Are. Here we are with, right. Look, I understand that both sides have played stupid on this before. I understand that it's happened. Never to this degree. Never to the degree where we could actually really fuck up our entire economy for nothing more than the political gain and the making happy of a shrieking but small group inside the Republicans that, and I'm going to swing this back to media because it's all of a theme today, but it you have this small group of teabaggers, that, and yeah, I'm going to call them that because you know what? They called themselves that for the first year and a half until one of them was smart enough to pick up a book and look up what the hell teabagger meant. And if it takes them a year and a half to pick up a book, they're labeled. They built their brand and they need to.
I think it's a great label.
Yeah. They did it to themselves. And for.
It works for them.
For actual teabaggers, no, you know, offense. So, so, you know, you've
probably
got the.
Not conservative.
The media will point a camera at any asshole with a bumper sticker slogan that they can fit into their 15-second soundbite culture. You know, that's why you like 60 Minutes, Jake. That's why you like it, is because they spend at least a block a story. You get at least 8 to 10 minutes per issue that they cover. That's why Nightline gives Forrest nightmares, because they'll take an issue, and instead of giving it 30 to 40 seconds, they spend a few minutes on it getting down into the details of what's actually happening. He said he liked 60 Minutes 25 minutes ago. That's all I'm saying.
I did.
I'd never said Nightline made me pee my pants.
No, I said nightmares. Or was that you too?
No, that was me.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm just trying to include Forrest in the conversation. Put your shirt back on. So he's all oiled up and flexing.
Busy.
Like a Sunday morning. Don't
I
sing.
Love-
So,
some people call me the space cowboy.
Hey, back on topic, right, ladies. Hey. Back on topic. So here we have a media with a short attention span, basically has, you know, unmedicated ADD. You've got.
Wait, what were we talking about?
Yeah. I don't remember anymore either. That's the thing. So. Here we have a president held hostage by a vocal minority that's broken off of its already basically stack of assholes party. Because,
right.
You know, the Republican Party is not a bucket full of chuckles. I'll tell you that right now. And so here they are. We have an unprecedented opportunity to basically make 50% of the American people homeless. How can we pass that up? We must fight the debt ceiling increase. You know, basically.
You know what? I'm confused that I seriously haven't seen Obama come on TV and say, this is what I'm offering America. This is why I want the debt ceiling raised. This is what it'll pay for. This is what Republicans are refusing to do.
He has.
He's on TV almost every night.
Very, very recently he has. Just the talks.
Almost look
yesterday,
hey,
and he
wait,
came
back
out,
on
and
topic.
You know what he said,
because I haven't heard a peep.
Media ADD, too hard to understand and explain. We don't understand international economics, but we understand Obama, Kenyan Muslim meanie.
He came out and he said, "We've offered to cut spending on Social Security." And Medicare. And they still walked away because the Republicans, really more specifically, the Tea Party, refuses to raise taxes on anybody. Okay?
No. They are fine raising taxes on you. Do you make about $50,000, $60,000? They're fine raising taxes on you. They scream and yell at you that you are overtaxed. But when the Obama administration in the early days was trying to pass that stimulus to give you, Johnny middle class, your
right.
tax cut, they fought the hell out of that.
Yeah, they
nice
did.
Save.
Nice
they
save.
Did.
And yet the Bush tax cuts, which if they expire, pretty much take care of 90% of our debt problem right now.
That's $3.7 trillion. If they were just to let those tax cuts expire without cutting anything, nothing social, right. No kind of program. We're not talking.
So is this
that's $3.7 trillion. If they let that expire, our
that
short and midterm crisis would be over.
No, they're fighting the debt ceiling because they want to cut social programs. They won't stop ethanol.
I mean,
they
yeah,
won't.
No. I know. But you're going off on. What I'm wondering is why? What are the Republicans fighting specifically?
They want to cut spending, not the increase on the tax rich.
Okay,
specifically, it's they want to cut spending and not increase revenue.
Anywhere they want to cut spending.
It hurts anybody but the rich. And when I'm talking the rich, I'm not even talking
this
about.
Is not propaganda.
I can't imagine that they're actually going out there and saying this.
No, so but you just look
I
at their
know
math.
What they're saying.
What they're saying.
I know, but.
If you'd shut up for half a second, I'll tell you what they're saying.
Okay.
Do you want to tell me? I'm not telling you, but you won't let me get a word in edgewise. I can't educate you.
Just picking up tips for my wife.
You're a dead man.
I am. Yeah. She won't listen to this.
Here's the thing. You start with the Bush tax cuts. Okay? You let those expire.
Right. I know about those.
Work with me.
I paid that.
It's all paint of a picture. So you let that expire, okay? That brings in a little bit more revenue.
$3.7 trillion, a hell of a lot more revenue.
Okay, now you just have rich people going, why are you picking on me? It's not that much like tomorrow. It's over a decade. It's still lower than where Clinton had the tax rate on those guys. And they were doing very well then as well, to the point now that you have millionaires and billionaires calling Eric Cantor and telling him to STFU. We're fine. Let it bump up a couple of points. And they have Republicans telling rich guys now, you don't know what's best for you, job creator. So
you're jumping the shark again.
No, shut up and listen. So we start there. So the administration and the Democratic half of Congress.
So Obama wants to let the Bush tax cuts expire.
That's
and the
one.
Republicans don't?
They do not.
No, they do not want those to expire. Those were front-end loaded tax cuts. When those were in place, I mean, I got a check. I'm sure you got a check.
Yeah. $300.
Got a check. Those were front-end loaded tax breaks. And so
that was a colossal waste of money.
Well, and it was when we're fighting two wars.
We should
you don't cut
tax
taxes when you're
spending,
fighting a war. You don't cut taxes when you're fighting two wars, especially. So that's the beginning. We start with the tax cuts. That was last year.
Right.
As we're moving forward to this, the debt ceiling increase starts becoming a very minor talking point. So you have Democrats saying, okay, well, we've got 60-some-odd billion going to oil companies, which also happen to be, for the 14th quarter in a row, the five most profitable businesses internationally in history. So how about we quit giving them $60 billion? At which point the Republicans go, no, you can't do that. If you do that, they'll fire everybody and stop making gas.
And that's the thing. That's the bottom line right there, is that the Republicans are saying you cannot tax the rich because that's going to cause corporations not to hire, it's going to stop jobs from being created.
Even though jobs aren't
being
created.
The truth. It's not the truth.
So then the Democrats come along and they bring up ethanol subsidies. And at which point the half of the Democrats and all of the Republicans are like, are you kidding me? Half of those ethanol subsidies go to battleground states in the Midwest. Those farmers will get pissed, so we can't get rid of those. So why don't you guys cut Medicaid, Medicare, some Social Security, we'll jack that up. All of these things, Republicans are going after social spending. They are pushing us toward a nomadic society where people live in tents, in parks because they don't have homes. But when you go, okay, well, if you buy a corporate jet, we're going to go ahead and take your whatever 3% tax to a 6% tax. And the Republicans collectively shit themselves.
You jump between like rational argument and
this is happening.
Left wing
if
party
you,
line
no,
crap.
Follow
you
it.
Oh, if you buy a jet, that's not what the Republicans are saying.
No.
I can't have a debate.
The Democrats said we want a jet tax. We want to take the 3% or whatever tax, and we want to jack it up a few percentage points. This happened.
The Republicans want this.
The Republicans, of course not. No. The Democrats said, okay, we want to tax corporate jet purchases.
Corporate jet purchases. How much is that really going to bring in?
Not very much.
So why are you?
That's what the debate is about. It's dumb. I'm trying to get that through to you. The debate that's going on right now is so backwards and dipshitty, and these are the points that are talking.
Okay.
Let's cut this trillion out of corporate welfare, and they say no, find $4 trillion in social spending. That's what we're
doing.
Listen,
I understand the highlights of it. I don't pay that close attention to it because it disgusts me on a lot of levels. But what I got to tell you is that Obama is doing a shit-ass job telling people how this affects them.
Yes, he is.
He needs someone.
Well, hang on. I want
to talk about it.
And that's
super. And listen,
hang
the
on.
Republicans, right? The Republicans are saying that they don't want to cut oil subsidies. And I think they absolutely should. But what a lot of people continue to not understand is that the dollar is based on the price of oil. And if oil tanks, the dollar tanks. And if the dollar tanks when we're already tanking, we're fucked.
Dude,
that's
Canada,
why the Republicans
Canada's
don't
dollar
do
was worth more than ours last year.
Right. So okay. If you
oil is
the
not
going to
tank, are you going to stop driving because
no,
we didn't pass the
without
debt
subsidies,
ceiling?
Oil will tank. Because investors look at the oil price and they look at the profits, which is why oil is profitable. If you take away $600 billion of their profits, people are going to sell their stock.
It's not profit.
That's how
when
it works.
It's a tax break. It's $60 billion over,
it's, all right, it's
over several years.
It's $60 billion to them that they don't have to shell out. I disagree with it completely. I think
okay,
it's offensive.
Then where's
the taxpayer
my,
money
where's
is
my
going
$1.50 gas? If
no,
I'm
no,
already
no.
giving these people $60 billion nearly
I'm
every
not,
year,
I'm
where's
not
my
arguing
dollar
with
gas?
You about the morality of it. I'm not arguing with you about the economics of it. I'm telling you that if you take away $60 billion from the oil companies right now, oil stock will tank. If oil stock tanks, the value of the dollar tanks.
I don't agree at all.
It will.
I don't agree. They're already their profits are already outreaching what we give them.
I think we ought to
all
cut
we're
them in
doing
half.
Is
I'm
dumping
not
money.
I'm disagreeing with you.
I'll start
I'm
with cutting them in half.
Cannot...
I will start with cutting them in half,
okay, fantastic.
And then wean them off their addiction to the teat of the American
sure.
taxpayer.
And you know what else we're going to have to wean off? Subsidies for farms.
Yep.
Which means your produce is going to go up because factory farms are going to scream and bitch and tank.
Wait, no way, right there. When they were when Jeff was talking about the when Jeff was talking about the corn subsidies just now, a lot of those farmers were saying, "Yeah, you should take that away."
Right.
Yes, we would really like to have to
that's
have
ethanol,
a safety net, but
that's
right now
don't
we
like
don't need that
corn
safety
corn
net, and we don't need that money. They were saying that
like
we don't need
tobacco,
it.
Tobacco, because tobacco is profitable, so you tax the crap out of it.
Still profitable.
Still profitable.
Yeah. I'm just saying, okay, right. Let's take all corporate welfare and half it. But
yeah,
they
no,
won't
I'm
go
for
that.
I'm for that.
I'm just, let the Bush right. tax cuts expire, and then we don't really have anything to worry about, even though right now, as far
right.
as this whole thing, it's nothing more than an engineered crisis. The fact that Standard & Poor's is about to dump America's credit rating because...
Right.
Of what?
That will take our dollar.
Exactly. Without
save your
and yet
canned
we,
goods, people.
Which is crazy to me because Standard & Poor's and Moody, both of them. I mean, these were the guys that were given the bank's AAA credit ratings right before they fell
up.
Apart. They.
So we're back
they
basically
get,
to
as far
gerrymandering.
As they don't get to,
hang on, I want to play it. Can I just play a little clip real quick? I'm going to play a little clip real quick. This comes
you're
back
right,
to
Forrest, you're
remember,
right.
Okay, you just said that Obama and the Democrats are doing a terrible job at messaging, right? I agree. This is why. If this were played on every television station in every market across the United States for three straight days, this whole thing would be over, but Democrats won't find that money. I'm going to play this. September 26, 1987.
Congress consistently brings the government to the edge of default before facing its responsibility. This brinkmanship threatens the holders of government bonds and those who rely on Social Security and veteran benefits. Interest rates would skyrocket. Instability would occur in financial markets, and the federal deficit would soar. The United States has a special responsibility to itself and the world to meet its obligations. It means we have a well-earned reputation for reliability and credibility, two things that set us apart from much of the world.
Who was that? I got a bottle cap for the first person to tell me who said
Gipper,
that.
Gipper, give me the bottle cap. President Ronald Reagan.
Did you just call him Yipper?
I said it was the
Gipper.
Gipper.
Come on.
It was the Gipper.
So the patron saint of the modern Republican Party and the teabagger movement.
They don't like him anymore because he disagrees with stuff they're trying to do.
He disagrees with everything they're trying to do.
Right.
Basically, overthrow the American government in a way that screws as many American citizens as possible.
No, I mean, I really, the Democrats should absolutely be playing this across the country. Because this is what it's about. The problem that Obama seems to be suffering here is that he's taking flack for it at all. His message to the American people should be that I'm trying to pay for America's obligations. Social Security, veterans benefits, everything else that's going to tank if this isn't raised. And it's being blocked by Republicans. Are you going to accept that? And if people want to accept their government defaulting because the Republicans won't raise the debt ceiling, that's on the Republicans. The Republicans don't have to like that they have to pay for social programs. But Obama doesn't have to put up with this shit, and he does every time.
He does, and it's disgusting. It's disappointing, really. It's really disappointing because that's not the person we elected. We elected the person that was going to fight
the
banks.
For a leader.
He was going to
fight like a leader.
Corporations. He was going to fight the Republicans, and he was even going to fight the Democrats.
And he did.
He was going to stand up for
the people. Oh, he's fought Democrats. He's fought the hell out of Democrats.
Yeah, he has.
Right.
But
for some reason, he's
nobody
bending
else.
Over for Republicans.
Well, and what it came down to is
he's trying to play nice.
He offered us a change, and when he hired a bunch of candy-ass, spineless jerk-offs that
lobbyists?
A couple, but not really.
A few. Yeah.
But basically, all these guys in D.C. that want to have jobs after basically have turned him into a guy who still talks like a man on the campaign trail and talks like a beaten man in the White House. He just needs to fire his entire communication staff and half of his cabinet and most of his policy advisors
before election
and get some of those people back in that were advising him during the campaign and said, you can do it if you are a tough guy. And he is. He's super cool. He's in better shape than any president we've ever had. I am pretty sure he could beat up a zombie, a polar bear, and Grover Norquist.
I hate to say this. This makes me feel dirty. George Bush Jr. was by far the most fit president we've ever had.
Nah, he just
rode
a bike.
That's nothing about any. I can't stand him. Don't get me wrong.
He's a bicyclist.
No. He's a runner. Yeah. And he would run miles and miles, and he would crank up the heat to 106 to see who could compete with him.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, but he can't. He can't dunk.
Is this what we're talking about?
He can't dunk.
Gerrymandering.
I apologize.
Douchey.
All right, douchey. Obama's a great president who rolls over when he has to fight people that he doesn't want to call him names.
And he does this for a reason, because he thinks that people can actually get together. And there was a time in this country when it was a different...
Before Clinton.
There was a difference of ideals, but it's past that now. It's not a difference of ideals anymore. It's really a war, and there is a war going on in this country, and it's class warfare.
Wolverines!
I yelled at the top of the mountain today. Just
did you really?
Hell yeah.
Then he peed his radiator and they had a stinky ride
home. I do every
time
I get to the top of the mountain, I try to remember to do that because it cracks me up.
Here's the thing. When you live inside the bubble, when you are that deep inside and you have only certain ways to look out, because if you'll notice, every time the president goes on a junket and goes and speaks to people and does a rope line and a handshake, his next time in front of White House pool reporters, he gets his steel back a bit. And then the second time and the third time, you just kind of watch that. Somewhere in his head, he has not been able to come to the perfectly noticeable conclusion that we can all see out here in America that, you know what? People are buying the bullshit that comes out of Boehner and Cantor and what's his name? Yertle the Turtle. McConnell's face. That they can say absolute and utter ridiculous horseshit like that, and that some American people will actually buy it. At the beginning, that was my thought, is he's talking like this because he can't wrap his head around that there are people this ignorant in the United States of America. But if you look at our education ranking worldwide, he should have a clue that, you know what, a lot of us are that stupid, and a lot of us are that gullible, and a lot of us will listen to some douche hag like Grover Norquist going, "Don't tax me, I've got too much money."
Yeah, honestly.
There's nothing like a rich person telling me, you know, "I'm not going to give you jobs if you tax me." Where's my jobs now? We're at 16% unemployment. Where's my jobs now?
You hear rich people get angry all the time, but you know why you don't hear them complaining?
Because they have walls around their house?
Because who would care?
Because they'd set the dogs out when you try and eavesdrop?
Doggy. Buy a new factory.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Do you have something to read? You're looking at your computer like you got something to read.
No, I was just seeing what people were saying. And
he's fact-checking my numbers on how many people work for Congress.
It's 535.
I'm sorry about that, people. It's been a while. I'm rusty.
You know what? You know why I know that?
I learned it.
I got it wrong on television.
Oh.
And I said, about 700.
See?
Yep.
I got it from you.
No, I got it from you. Gravity pushes down. Hey, look, we're coming to the end of our first hour. We're going to take a break. We'll see you in the next block. We're going to talk a little bit more about, shitty Democratic messaging.
A lot more about it.
Okay. We're going to talk about one of the things we missed last week when we were talking about the Utah convention that Forrest and I went to was our good friend Eric, one of our co-hosts here on The Left Show, was elected as the head of the Utah Democratic Progressive Caucus.
That's go, right. Eric.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah, he's active. He's involved. He's running the caucus. And we totally blew him off last week. I think because Jake told us to.
Whoa.
Thanks, Jake.
Back the hell off. I'm Eric's biggest fan here.
Shut the front door. No?
Got dandruff. Some of it itches.
Hey, thanks for joining us for part one of this, the first episode. For realsies of The Left Show. We hope that you have enjoyed our monumentally toned down swear machine filter.
Sorry about that.
I'm not.
Say goodnight, ladies.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, Comic-Con.
Good night, Comic-Con.